Om Shanti. 25th December 2018, Tuesday. Today's blessing is, may you be master, merciful, and have blessings and mercy for all souls, the same as the Father. Just as the Father is merciful, similarly, you children also have to have blessings and mercy for all souls, because you have become instruments, the same as the Father. Brahmin souls can never have dislike for other souls. Even though someone is like Kansa, or Jarasandh, or Ravan, no matter what that soul may be like, the children of the merciful Father can never dislike them. You will have the intention of transforming them and a feeling of benefiting them, because they are, after all, your family and they are under another influence, Parvash. You can never dislike those who are influenced by someone else. So the Father is merciful. He is known as the ocean of mercy and the ocean of compassion. And just as Father is merciful, you children also have to be merciful and have blessings and mercy for all souls, because you are instrument, just as the Father is. And that's why you will never have dislike for any soul, no matter what they are. In one of the Avyakta Murlis, Baba had said, you don't have to look at others at their present sanskars. See only the original and the eternal sanskars. What the soul was in the supreme abode, or when they descended down in golden age or in copper age. See those elevated sanskars. Form this habit of seeing only those sanskars, even if the soul had not come in the golden age or silver age. But whilst the soul was in the supreme abode, it was very pure, it was very loveful, it was full of bliss, happiness. So when the souls are here, they are in that divine state of bliss, and they have come down and they got soiled with body consciousness, and they have lost all that divinity, and you see them at a very low stage. But even when you see them, think that they belong to that supreme abode. They belong to that golden age. So they must be having those sanskars somewhere hidden within them. And your drishti will work like a current that will help them to get rid of those different layers of sanskar. The soul is here. Multiple layers have formed, multiple vices, sins have buried the soul, the divinity within, and that's why your drishti will act as a catalyst to bring forth those divine sanskars. And that's why you cannot have dislike. Dislike is a very small word. In Hindi they say grina, Grina is something more than hatred. One is just like another is hatred. Maybe even a strict, when a harsher word is Grina. Grina is not just dislike. Grina is something very, very strong dislike for somebody, where you can't just stand anyone. So Baba is saying, you are Brahmin souls. You are merciful because the Father is merciful, and that's why you cannot have dislike for anyone. No matter what they are, no matter what their sanskars are, no matter how cruel they look like, they appear. They might be tyrant, oppressor, dictators, persecutors like Kansa or Jarasandh or Ravan. You cannot dislike them. This is a very great task. This three examples Baba had given here, has given. One is this Kansa, who was a tyrant, an oppressor, who terrorized his subjects and who did not leave any stone unturned to kill Krishna. Even for such a soul who plots against you, who conspires against you, who tries to kill, one should be merciful. Mercy is a very, very elevated word. And to be merciful is a great virtue. No matter if somebody is like Jarasandh, he had kept in captivity about 100 kings. 86 he had kept, 84 like I think, and few were remaining, 16 were remaining. He wanted to sacrifice all of them to complete his yajna. And then there was a Ravan. Yesterday we saw about him. So no matter what the soul is like, you cannot dislike them. Why? Because of two things. We have the feeling of transformation, bhavana of parivartan and bhavana of kalyan, that even these souls should benefit. Even these souls should get transformed, because no matter what they are, after all they are under influence. They are parvash and they are your parivar. These are the two words. So that's why you can never dislike those who are influenced by someone else, because at present they are parvash. So this is in short about today's blessing. So the question is, how to love such people who plot against you, who backbite, those who cast aspersions on you, those who resort to mudslinging, those who criticize, those who oppose, those who hate. We do not hate them, but they hate us. This is a very, very tough question. In all the religions, whenever religious founder has come, they were beset, surrounded by such people who criticize them, who oppose them, who are against them. For that matter, they say that any institution goes through three stages. Any new philosophy goes through three stages. The first is ridicule. People laugh at you. Whenever a new idea is put forth, whenever a religious founder comes and he tells something else, people laugh. The second is, when they start to understand, they start opposing it. Because what you are telling, what you are preaching is something opposed to their age-old philosophy or rituals, ceremonials, basis or their foundation or their belief system. So any institution will pass through First, the stage of laughter. People will mock at you. They'll make you a butt of mockery. Butt of laughter. Second, they will start opposing. And in this opposition, they may resort to violence. In all religions, this has happened. All religions. Almost all. And third step is acceptance. Ridicule, opposition, and acceptance. And then gradually they will accept. But this acceptance may take a lot of time. And in all the religion, this principle of mercy is taught. And all the religious founders who had come, they were the very embodiment of this mercy. Dayalu, Kripalu. God is Dayalu and God is Kripalu. Allah is Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. And the Heavenly Godfather is ocean of mercy and ocean of compassion. For different religions, they speak in different words, but the meaning is same. So today is 25th December. So Merry Christmas to all of you. And we will see something from Christianity regarding this aspect. If you see the life of Jesus Christ, right from the beginning till the end, there were only few people who supported him, but most of them opposed him. And he showed the spirit of mercy for all of them. There were Pharisees who were always plotting against him, because suddenly he came and suddenly he revealed that I am Son of God. And they were not ready to accept him as Son of God. And you will see in New Testament so many incidents in his life where we see that he was the very embodiment of mercy. He talked very boldly. He talked very frankly, and he talked the truth. And his each and every word was filled with fearlessness, and which was unacceptable to all those pundits, religious leaders, Pharisees who were there. So, just one incident. There was a lady who was caught in the very act of sin, and those Jews has the custom that whenever such a thing happens, that person should be stoned to death. That was the law, and that's why that lady was brought in front of Jesus, and he was told, now you judge what punishment she should be given. Because they were thinking in their mind that if he tells that punish her, then where is your love and where is your mercy? And if he tells leave her, then he goes against their laws. So they both way they wanted to catch him. And with that, that lady was thrown in front of him. And he was told that she is caught in the very act of adultery. Now what you say? And Jesus kneels down. And on the soil he writes something. And then he says to that public who was angry with stones in their hand, about to pelt stones and kill that lady. And Jesus says, whosoever amongst you is without sin should come forth. Whosoever is without sin. And there was not a single person who could dare to come out, come ahead. And everybody threw their stones and they withdrew. And then lady comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, I thank you, for you saved me. And he says unto her, go now and sin no more. The Lord has forgiven you, and so I forgive you. And there's a beautiful statement in Bible, just as the Father is merciful, be ye merciful unto others. Just as the Father is perfect in heaven, be ye perfect. So that was an act of mercy. There's another lady who is a prostitute, and he comes to Jesus, and she has brought a perfume which is very costly, and she put that perfume over the feet of Jesus, and she is washing his feet with her hair. And one of the disciples say, Judas, ki rather than wasting that perfume, why not sell that perfume, get money and distribute that money amongst poor? Is not that an act of charity? Rather than wasting that perfume like this, it would be better if you distribute that money amongst poor. And Jesus says, poor would always be there, but I will not be there always. I am here now, and that's why let her do what she is doing. Let her continue what she is doing. That was an act of mercy. And that's why he is said to be the merciful Lord. There's yet another place when he is invited at some other place, and one lady also comes there. I think she is also a prostitute, and there also the host gets irritated that how come this lady came there when I invited this man. And Jesus gives a parable. Entire Bible is filled with examples, with stories, with parables, because he teaches in terms of parables which poor people can understand. Those illiterate Jews can understand. They would not understand the language of the scriptures. They would not understand what things were written in the Old Testaments, but they will understand what he was teaching. And he says, suppose a man, there are two men, one is poor man and rich man, and both of them are not having money at present. Both of them need money, and they borrow money from somebody. Suppose first person borrows 50 rupees and another person borrows maybe 200 rupees, and they both are not able to repay the money, and the master waives off their money. Okay? Who will be more happy? The person who wanted to give 200 rupees or the person who wanted to give 50 rupees? Definitely the person who does not have money and who should give 200 rupees to the master, he will be more happy. And that's why he says, the one who has committed more sins, he should be forgiven first, rather than those who have committed less sins. Those who have just taken 50 rupees and the somebody who has taken 200 rupees. So this man would be more happy. So let her do. Let her come. Let her absolve her sins by serving me. So that was an act of mercy. And it's shown at one place that he is going, and a man comes and he says, Lord, please come. My daughter is sick, but she is far away, and he cannot reach. And he says that she will be alright. And at that moment only, at that time only, this man goes home. The home is far away from there. And he sees his daughter is alright. And he asks his wife what time she got okay. And see, he says, this time, and it was the same time when Jesus had said that. That was again an act of mercy. And there were people who were opposing him, and he would come to the synagogue, those temple of Jews, and he would start preaching people, and they would hold stones in their hand about to throw at him. But he never threw any stone at anybody. He never opposed anybody. He never criticized them violently in that manner. There is only one place in Bible where he enters into one synagogue, and there he sees what people are doing. They are doing gambling, and they are purchasing and selling off birds and coins and all those things, and he throws off everything and he says, you have turned the house of my Lord into the den of thieves. And my love for this house of God burns in me like a fire. That is the only point where he had shown like that. But that is again an act of mercy. So everywhere, blind people are coming unto him and he is giving them vision. And then there is a person who is paralyzed and who can't walk. And he goes to him and says, come on and start walking. And that person starts walking. And there is one Lazarus who is dead, and his sister Mary says unto him, Lord, where were you and why you did not come? If you were around, my brother would not have died. And he goes and he shouts, Lazarus, come out. And the Lazarus starts walking. So these are all the miracles which are shown, where he is helping the poor. And whenever he helps somebody, he gives them one instruction, do not tell about this to anybody. You know? There's a person who is blind and he says to him, he takes the mud, spits on the mud and applies to his eyes. And he starts seeing. And he tells unto him that don't tell this to anybody. So, you know, there is a hidden mercy. And he is helping poor. And he goes to the mountain and then he has only 5 breads, loaves of bread. And he prays to the Lord and then the buckets and these baskets are filled with blood. So there are miracles each and everywhere. Everywhere there are miracles, one after another. Healing the diseased, helping the paralyzed, curing the blind, and even making the dead rise. All those things are filled with Bible. So it's not about miracles, it's more about his heart, his huge heart. It's about the mercy that he had for everyone. So that spirit of mercy, that spirit of compassion, even when he was persecuted, even when he was caught. And who caught him? One of his favorite disciple. He sold Jesus Christ just for 30 coins, Judas. And he has prophesied that even at that Passover, when they were having their meals. At that moment, Jesus goes and starts washing the feet of each and every disciple. And the disciples say, Lord, why are you washing our feet? And he says, I wash your feet so that you can wash the feet of others. Do unto others that which I do unto you. Because I do that what my Father does unto me. Because I do not tell my own message. I tell you what my Father has told me. My Father that art in heaven. So, a guru washing the feet of disciple, that's a great thing. And then even he knows that one of the disciple is going to deceive him, but even unto him he is merciful. And those soldiers come and they catch him and they take him away. And all those people whom he helped, even the Plato who was there, who was about to pronounce judgment or give punishment, he asked the public, whom you want to be punished, this man or that thief? Everybody says, this man, leave that thief. The Pilate who was there, the king. So, right from the birth till the end, at the age of 32, he finished all his work. Last 3 years only are important in the life of Jesus Christ. In between, he was missing. And there are books that he was in India. And there are books, they say that there's a book in English, The Unknown Life of Jesus Christ. They say he had come here. He studies Vedas. And he moved around. And he was like a poor fakir. And he was like a sannyasin. And he was the follower of God, and he had that love for God. He never proclaimed that I am God. But there are some statements like, my Father and I are one. So there are people who believe that he is the God incarnate, and there are people who believe that he is God, he is Son of God. So every religion for that matter. This was the religion which came and he taught love. Whom he taught love? Those who were filled with hatred. These are the people whom he taught love. And he helped all of those people, and those people ultimately crucified him. According to Gyan, Baba says, there are two souls. One is Jesus and another is Christ. In the body of Jesus, Christ, the soul comes, establishes the religion and goes out and takes another body. And the one who is crucified is not Christ but the soul of Jesus. So there are two souls. So now the question is, where is Jesus? If there are two souls, one was, this is the body of Jesus, the Christ soul enters, establishes the religion, does all the miracles and goes away and takes another body. Now where is the soul of Jesus after crucifixion? In whose body Christ entered? Here, some of us. Because who were the souls available? Who were the bodies available? Brahmins. So the soul of Christ entered the body of Jesus. And Jesus is somebody from the deity religion. Because the soul of Jesus, Christ's soul cannot suffer. Baba says he cannot be crucified at all. It's a very pure soul who establishes religion and he goes away and takes another body. That soul might be there somewhere in the world. But the soul of Jesus is here. Some of us. So, in all the religions we learn about mercy. In all the religions we learn about compassion. In all the, even while those who were crucifying him, his last words were, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. That just as Baba is saying, they are parvash. They are of our parivar. They are of our family. They are parvash. That's why you should not have ghrina or dislike or strong hatred for anybody. So just as Father is merciful, just as Father is compassionate, imbibe that spirit of compassion and imbibe that spirit of mercy. So you can take this as a topic, how to love somebody who hates you, how to be compassionate unto him who plots against you. It's a difficult thing, but if you see even the life of Brahma, all the Avadadis in the earlier stages, how much opposition they had to endure. Yet, they had that feeling of Shubha Bhavana and Parivartan Bhavana for the other souls. And these two things will help them transform. So, no matter whatever souls are, whether they are Kans-like, whether they are Jarasandh, or whether they are Ravan, because they are Parvash. They are under influence. The souls have become tamopradhan. Are you going to get satopradhan soul in this Kaliyug? Are you expecting souls to be merciful, full of love, happiness, purity? Not possible. All souls have degraded. This is the lowest abysmal stage of degradation. Moral lassitude. They are suffering from this stage. Such a tamopradhan stage they have arrived. So you cannot expect. But we know the truth, and we know God, and we know his teachings, and we know what he is teaching us. There is one English author who says, for non-veg food, no flock that range this valley I condemn to slaughter, but taught by the power that pities me, I learn to pity them. He is talking about the sheep that are moving around the valley. It is not that I do not love to, I hate to kill them. I can kill them and I can eat the non-vegetarian food. But taught by the power that pities me, there is a power above me that pities me, I learn to pity them. Just as God pities me, I learn to pity them. For example, if whatever sins we have done, forget about other births, in this birth only, and we keep in front of us, see, Baba has forgiven us. And that's why he has chosen us. Even in after becoming Brahmin, we have committed some or small or other sins. But still he has not rejected us. He has kept us. So what right we have to reject other souls? just as we want our sins, our mistakes to be remain hidden from the world, and we want to expose others, with what right? And Baba says, I love all. I am not just your father, I am the father of the whole world. And so, spirit of mercy, spirit of compassion, spirit of good wishes, good for everyone. This is the goal of Brahmin life. Because we are ancestors, we are forefathers, we are the progenitors of this world, Purvaj. We have come quite earlier. And that's why, have mercy, have compassion, have love for everyone. Om Shanti.
जिंगल बेल्स बज रहे हैं, साल खत्म हो रहा है, पर उससे पहले 25 दिसंबर क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है। क्रिसमस ट्री लाएंगे, उसे सजाएंगे, ऊंची डाली पर तारा लगाएंगे, अच्छे बच्चे बनेंगे, सांता याद करेंगे, तोहफे लाएंगे, हाथ मिलाएंगे। क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है। क्रिसमस प्यार का उत्सव है, जादू कर देता है, मन को छू लेता है, प्यार से भर देता है। जिंगल बेल्स बज रहे हैं, साल खत्म हो रहा है, और इससे पहले 25 दिसंबर क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है, क्रिसमस आ रहा है।